So finishing up with Oliver Cromwell, the English Civil War, and Puritans. This Parliament did not go well, the Puritans' ruling of government. It would disband because they proved essentially to be ineffectual. And a new parliament would be appointed and made Cromwell Lord Protector in 1653. In 1660, the Commonwealth period ended for 2 years after Cromwell's death, and the Royalists were returned to power. The new government had Cromwell's corpse dug up, hung in chains, and beheaded. Following that, the English monarchy would be returned to power. And the Church of England was re-established, and its bishops were also reinstituted. So that's the Puritans. Any questions about the Puritans? Are the Puritans still around? In their pure form, no, but they have influenced various churches. For instance, some Baptists can, significant amounts of Baptists to some extent, can trace their roots back to Puritan influences. The Presbyterians, which are still around, there were a lot of similarities between the two. They are two different things, but there's a lot of similarity. They do have people in the Anglican Church who are still would consider themselves more Puritan than the High Church. For instance, this is bad. I'm reading an Anglican catechism. I can't think of the guy's name. It'll come to me at some point. But this guy would consider himself influenced greatly by the Puritans. So more of an influence thing than an actual church. Any other questions? Well, just another group or two that I should touch on here very briefly. How many of you have heard of the Quakers? Yep. Founder of the Quakers, George Fox, also is the is someone who comes about at this time. Was live, as you see, 1624 to 1691. Founder of the Society of Friends, known to most people as Quakers. They would meet in meeting houses, not churches. The nickname Quaker was given by a Justice Bennett in 1650 to George Fox because Fox told him to tremble before the Lord. Early Quakers also explained the terms as referring to the trembling they experienced in their religious meetings. Quakers founder George Fox emphasized the immediacy of Christ and his teaching. Fox held that consecrated buildings and ordained ministers were irrelevant. Quakers would worship without a minister or a liturgy or a pre-arranged service. They refused to take oaths, pay taxes, or give any credence to social rank. Plainness of speech was emphasized, and they were persecuted until the Toleration Act of 1689 in England. They are also important because in the 17th century, the Quakers began for the first time of any known church in the West to allow women to preach, well, I should say, speak in public worship. This was at the time seen as shocking. The name of the lady eludes me, but there is a woman who wrote a book who is Quaker, defending the practices. And she would give biblical and experiential reasons why that was to be allowed. So the summary of Puritanism, just to recap, Puritans were associated with no single theology or ecclesiology. However, many, I would say the vast majority, were Calvinists. They were known for their criticisms of the religious compromises made by the Anglican Church. And many of them were well-educated, and they served as Anglican priests to help change local churches. As a matter of fact, Puritans, many attorneys would be Puritans. They really liked Puritanism for some reason. Puritans emphasized personal religious experience, sincere moral conduct, and simple worship services. The Puritans had strong theological beliefs and serious expectations about how Christianity should be lived. The Puritan movement was within the Church of England to purify the national church. They would actually preach and go to war for godly theocracy, as you see in the English Civil War. They were willing to try to overthrow the government to get a theocracy in place. There are many good people and leaders in the movement, and they eventually broke into various groups. As you see there, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Baptists, and others. Their influence is felt in those groups. And most Puritans accepted Calvinist doctrines of predestination and election. All right, any questions?
Wait,
I probably have
one
with. Let me.
Kas need kveekerid ka siis praegu on või see tundub nagu nii tänapäevane kirik selle kirjelduse järgi?
Sorry, I'm still finding the channel. So, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, there are still Quakers around. I know for the place that they were most active, they're most active, I think, even today, is in a specific place in the United States. Pennsylvania is where they were strongest. There are also others that are in the United States and I believe in Canada and England. Yeah, it does seem kind of contemporary, right? Sit in the group and talk as you feel led by the Spirit. There are both conservative and liberal Quakers, so they're around. Growing up as a kid in the United States, the most famous Quaker was, we have a oatmeal called Quaker Oats, and there's like a guy with a Quaker hat and wig on. That's how we were all introduced to Quakers. We think of oatmeal. All right, any other questions about Quakers? We get one.
Actually, I have a question regarding King James Bible.
Yes.
But is this like a very direct translation, or it is more like in a way, how to say it, to put it in a way that it's easy to understand, or for the modern people, or for this
17th century?
Yeah, 17th. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. I haven't thought that way about the King James Bible personally, because for a modern English reader, it can sometimes be a little bit confusing, because some of it is very beautiful language, because it was written to be beautiful. But some of the words, I mean, it's 400 years, so some of the word meanings have actually changed. I can't remember the exact incident.
Yeah, there are the old words that are not used maybe nowadays.
Yes. Yes, and like in English, you have these thee and thy, me and you, and sometimes it gets very confusing if you're a modern thinker, what is it? And also, but literally, there are words that have changed their meaning. And in one example, it's like, this is not the word, but it's like day, night, that it changed completely around. So if you're reading it for direction, a minister told me he was in a conversation with a church member once about this, and they're saying, see, it tells you to do this. And he said, you do realize that in the 17th century, that word meant the exact opposite. And but I don't know. My understanding is that it is meant to be more literal, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, because it differs if you compare with the Estonian version, that when you think that this might be so based on the original, then this King James looks a little bit like literal.
Don't take that as 100% accurate, but that's my understanding, is it was meant to be fairly accurate. But they did write it for pleasing language, and that's one reason it actually lasted so long, in my opinion.
Nowadays, what is the most popular, let's say, in the English?
And, New International Version, NIV. Some people use the Revised Standard Version. That's more literal. But personally, I use the NIV. Of course, I am now 48 years old, and probably there could be something that younger people now use that I have not. Yes, like I am on Facebook and not Instagram kind of guy. So yeah. But actually, I should look into that. I don't know that. I'll look into it. All right. Anything else? Well, there is one. I apologize for this, but if you would, when studying for the exam, there is a Counter-Reformation PowerPoints there in your Moodle. Look through those and study those. That's important things. We've had a couple of class periods where we've had some technical issues that kind of slowed us up, so we weren't able to get through all the material I'd hoped, and it's just good to know some of these things about that. Regarding the question about the Estonian file with the Anglican, I apologize for that. I'm looking to see if I got a different one to put up. If I am not, I will be mindful of the fact of any question that may be affected by that could hurt study. And that would be for everybody, because I can't just do it for one language group. But I don't think there may be a question or two that might deal with that, but that portion, but I'll look into it. If I can replace it, great. If not, I'll be mindful of that in grading the exam.
And the exam will be on these topics, what we find in the, what we went through during the lessons.
Yes, what we went through with the lessons, just study the PowerPoints, study your notes, and you will be fine.
And the exam will be from which day?
I will open it, I will open it Friday, and it will close. Saturday. I'll open it Saturday for you.
This Saturday.
Yeah. And it will close January 31st. So I'll give you the entire time that you can take the exam when it works best for you. Regarding the reading report, once again, just put up what percentage of the reading you are able to accomplish. The paper is the same as the, just with different time period and affecting who you can select in that time period. 5 to 7 pages. And if you have any questions about
three pages in movie.